Welcome here, welcome Hope at Home if you're watching online. If you're new with us, it's probably a little weird to the first thing you hear is, hey, we're voting for a new pastor. You know, it's like that's not the thing you probably wanted to hear when you came in to church today. But that is the reality here at Hope Church, and I want you to know that Pastor Jim and Sharon are out this week. They were invited to minister at another church out in Oregon. So that's where they are ministering together, and they're enjoying that. They will be back next week, and Pastor Jim, our senior pastor, will be here preaching. And this week I also traveled with Pastor Jim. We went together to a conference out for our region. There's a number of churches. We're all family, so we get together once a year for a conference. At that conference, they honored Pastor Jim for finishing well. Had him stand. We gave him a big hand. And so I just wanted you guys to know that. And, you know, they have been in ministry for 38 years. That's a long time. And if you know the stats, you know, in the Bible, 70% of the great leaders in the Bible failed miserably. Only 30% of them finished well. And so for pastors, you know, the stats are this. 1 out of 10 pastors will actually retire in ministry from being a pastor. 1 out of 10. And the rest will, well, I'm not going to say fail. I'm just going to say they will change their career. They will walk away. The pressures are immense. So I just want to let you know that Pastor Jim will be back next week. Okay, let me begin with a story. There was this pig and a chicken, all right? And they were walking down the road together. Eventually, they came upon a sign advertising breakfast. It was a breakfast to benefit the poor. And so the chicken said to the pig, "We should donate to that. How about if I give an egg and you provide the bacon?" Yeah? The pig said, "For you, that would be a contribution. But for me, it would be a total commitment." A total commitment. We've been talking about how to be ready for Christ's return in our series called Rapture Ready. How do we be rapture ready? You know, Christ is coming back, right? He is coming back, and we have the greatest hope in the world, anticipating his return, maybe in our lifetime. That would be crazy, huh? Maybe not in our lifetime. But the Bible tells us, it says, the Lord is trustworthy on all his promises and faithful in all he does. So we know it's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. I want to be prepared for that. What does that mean? That's what we're talking about over these last few weeks. How many of you know that there was a huge difference between what the chicken was thinking and what the pig was thinking? Yeah, pretty big difference in their thoughts. The pig knew, excuse me, that there was a great cost involved in donating to that breakfast. Well, I want to take us to Romans chapter 12. Okay? Kelsey, I'm glad you talked about worship this morning, because that's right where we're going, and I want to talk more about that. I'm excited. Romans chapter 12 kind of leads us in the same thought process and in the same direction as the cute little story of animals that we just read. Romans 12, 1 and 2, here's what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Paul here tells us, be a living sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means to seriously contemplate what you're getting yourself into. Definitely means that. You know, the idea of sacrifice, maybe it doesn't strike us that deeply, right? But to the original hearers of Paul's letter to the Romans, it would have sunk in deep. It would have been extremely challenging to hear this because they knew what it meant, right? To be all in, right? To give the whole hog, so to speak. Yeah, come on. Kind of try to connect that with the story. Plus, it's like Razorback country. It works, right? It worked. Yeah, not yet. Yesterday it worked so well. They knew what it meant to be all in, though, guys. Come on. They knew full well what it meant to make a sacrifice. It meant giving up something really important to them. Yeah, originally it meant, I mean, it wasn't funny, but I mean, it was crazy. I think he just got my joke from before. I love it. Now, we love you guys. Originally, here's what it meant. It meant giving the best of their flocks and literally taking one of their most valuable animals and killing it in place of themselves. Right? They would put their hands on the animal and their sin would transfer to that animal and they'd slaughter the animal. And that was part of the sacrificial system. There was no taking it back, right? It was commitment. It required a full commitment. You're either in or you're out on this, right? You're either all on that altar or you're not on that altar. There's no in between. But in this Roman culture where they lived, it started to mean even more than that. Now they had to contemplate what they were getting into. Because to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it could have meant giving up their own lives at this point. Some of their own friends and family, they were being martyred, they were being killed, they were being imprisoned just for believing in Jesus Christ. So this is the appeal that Paul starts with here in Romans chapter 12, and why there's such an urgency. How committed are you willing to be? What cost are you willing to pay? What should we be willing to pay? And what is the right response? It's interesting that Paul doesn't say, hey, in view of God's grace, in view of God's grace, offer your bodies. Doesn't say that. But instead, he brings the focus to mercy, right? Now, we know grace is super important here. We've heard it, Ephesians 2:8. It says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. But Paul doesn't say grace here. He says mercy. Why is that? Okay, let's talk about grace and mercy for a minute. Grace is this. Grace is demonstrated when we get what we don't deserve. Grace is demonstrated when we get what we don't deserve. So, in other words, no matter how much I do, it's not enough to deserve to be with God in heaven. I just don't deserve that. Okay? But God is giving that to me anyway. That's grace. But I don't deserve it. Okay, now mercy, how is that different? Mercy is what keeps us from getting what we do deserve. Okay, my deeds are enough to deserve to go to a whole different place. Right? Opposite direction there. but he is not giving me that. He's not giving me that. That's mercy. I deserve judgment. My life demands judgment. But he's not giving me that. That's mercy. Grace, grace, divine favor, a massive gift from the Father allowing me into heaven. Mercy has held back God's judgment to send me to hell. Wow. Let me read this again. Keeping that in mind, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in other words, in view of what I deserve, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Let me just share with you why this is such an important revelation for us. What is the proper response to God's mercy in our lives? The Bible shows us that sacrifice is the proper response to mercy. Okay, it's not to obtain mercy, but it should be purely in response to God's mercy, his kindness, his great compassion on us. If you think about that for a minute, just kind of let that sink in. You know, maybe we have believed that you have to make a sacrifice or do something in order to obtain God's mercy. As in, if I do something first, then God provides mercy. No, that's not it. That is not transformational thinking. All right, let's renew our minds right now. Like Paul says, God's mercy is not obtainable by anything we do because mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Does that make sense? And so Paul is laying it out pretty clear. This is your true and proper worship. We must become a living sacrifice in response to the mercy that God has laid out before us. Your daily life is not about somehow obtaining God's mercy. No, it is about responding to God's mercy. Amen? Amen. This is what we're trying to help others see. By the way, when we're telling them about Jesus, right? When we're inviting them into our homes, when we're praying for them, we're trying to help others see God's mercy. But really, the best way to help others see God's mercy is to live in response to God's mercy. You see that? You know, he is the great judge. The great judge on the throne that has granted us mercy. But all too often, we try to slip on that black robe ourselves and pound that gavel down on someone else. And when we do that, we forget about his mercy in our own lives. And that is what Paul does not want us to lose sight of. Don't lose sight of that. If you want to be rapture ready, is what we've been calling it over these last few weeks. If you want to be rapture ready, ready for his return, keep his mercy in view at all times. Keep his mercy in view. I love this scripture that comes out of the book of Daniel. Real quick, just talk about him for a minute. Daniel got it right when he prayed this prayer from Daniel chapter 9, verse 18. Listen to this. Daniel goes before the whole, you know, he lifts up the whole nation before God, you know, puts him on his shoulders. Excuse me. And he says, "Oh my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. I love that. It's a response because of his mercy. The mercy was already there. It is the very essence of who God is and his character. God is a merciful God. Amen. Amen. And now as we wait for his return, let us live in his mercy. He is not giving you what you deserve. Amen? Whew! I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord. Let's start thinking about this. As this transforms your mind, right? God's word, you start looking at the world and what's going on, okay? And let this run through your mind. Why is the world going the way it is? Why are things happening like they are? Why is it terrible? Some of the things that we see out there on the news feeds and all this stuff. You know why? He's not giving us what we deserve. See that? God's mercy is everywhere. Every time you see something you despise out there, God's mercy. Right? Every time you just get flared up and mad, God's mercy. Mad at someone, cut you off, something happens at work, family issues, stuff you see on TV, what's being promoted and pushed to kids in schools, all this stuff. Can rile you up, right? God's mercy. He is not giving us what we deserve. All right. Now, a little interaction. I want you to say this with me. Okay? Okay? This is what we're going to say. Because of the Lord's faithful love. Okay, ready? We're going to say it together. I'll say it and then you repeat. Okay? Because of the Lord's faithful love. Ready? Go.
Because of the Lord's faithful love.
All right, let's start it again. Real loud. Because of the Lord's faithful love. Ready? Go.
Because of the Lord's faithful love.
We do not perish. Ready? For his mercies never end.
For his mercies never end.
They are new every morning.
They are new every morning.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. Come on. That's Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. Man, that is a verse we need to remember, right? I feel like we should just paint it across the wall over there and just read it all the time. His mercies are new every morning. What did you do to make his mercy new? You woke up. You just got out of bed. Wow. God's mercy is completely up to God. I think that's a hard thing for some people to come to grips with. His mercy is completely up to God. You know, back in the Old Testament, when God met with Moses on the mountain, he says to Moses, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Right? And then he says this to Moses. He says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Boy, he makes a clear and definite statement, doesn't he? God is telling us it is up to him. You cannot obtain his mercy. He will give it because he wants to, not because you did anything. And in Romans chapter 9, if you go there this week, Paul explains this, and he says in 9:16, I'm just going to read this, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Right? Salvation, belonging, inheritance, coming into the kingdom of heaven doesn't depend on your desire, whether you want it or not. It don't depend on that. And it doesn't depend on your effort, no matter how hard you work for it. It depends on God's mercy. Whew. Does anyone just like, you know, wow, there's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, I tried all this stuff, but there's nothing I can do. God just loves me. I need to take a drink. I feel a little emotional after I said that. So we understand why Paul urges us to be a living sacrifice. It's how we should be living as we await his return. Okay? It is the true and proper thing to do. The words true and proper here, if you research them, they can also be translated as reasonable and right. Worship here, if you translate it from the Greek, it can be translated as divine service to God. So what's Paul saying here? If we translate this, he's saying serving God with your life is the most reasonable thing we could ever do because of his mercy. And once you understand his mercy, that's what you do. You serve him. You serve him. Now, we could literally stop right there and just cut this off, but because that's a lot to think about. But I just want to take it a little bit further into Romans 12. Some of your small groups are going to meet and talk about this stuff. So let me just say a little bit more. This verse in Romans is a really special verse, okay? And it's for this reason. Everything before this verse, Romans 12:1, is Paul expounding on God's plan of salvation for everyone on earth and why we believe. So if you want to know that, head that direction of Romans 12. Okay? But everything after this verse explains how we live it out in view of God's mercy. So if you want to know the application of it all, Romans 12:1, head that way and read the rest of Romans. And that's what you'll get out of that. So there's five more chapters where it all shakes out in normal life. Normal life. I love it because we're talking theology, we're talking heaven, we're talking God, and then we're like, we got to bring it all down to normal life. And that's what you get out of God's word. All right, we're just going to crack the lid off a little bit today with the remaining time we have. And I want to urge you guys to read the rest of Romans 12 through 16 this week. Read the rest, all right? Paul says, get away from worldly patterns. Let's start a new pattern. Let's get away from the worldly patterns. Let's start something new. If you haven't started reading the Bible, let's get that pattern going, okay? Get away from worldly patterns. Start focusing on God's word and let the transformation begin taking root. All right, transformation is not going to happen unless you let it begin taking root. It's going to start small. It's going to grow big. Right? We're not to let the world be what shapes our lives. That's what Paul's saying here. Or our thinking, for that matter. The world should not shape that. Let God's word do that for you. God's word can shape your mind in how to think. That's why it's so important. That's why I love it. That's why I get excited about teaching it. It just shapes me. And the more I teach it and learn it, the more I can use it to help shape others and how I can use it to shape my own kids. If I don't let it shape me, I don't have the tools I need to shape others, right? Amen. We got to do that. See what the Lord speaks to you through your own devotion to Him in these chapters this week. Right here at Hope Church, our vision is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ. We want that for you. That's our heart for you. You're going to hear this a lot. Some of you in the purpose coming to the purpose classes, you're going to hear seek, serve, and share. How do we do that? With our time, talents, and treasures. You're going to hear a lot of that. What does it take? It takes a commitment to serving the Lord like Paul is talking about. Because a living sacrifice is really being a living servant. And if you look at the patterns of this world, they stand in complete contradiction to the patterns of God. If you're going to become a living servant, you're going to start to have some noticeable differences in your life from the world. You're going to look different from the world, not the same. You're going to look different. One of those differences is that you begin to care about God's will. It becomes the thing you care about most. You care about what God cares about. So real quick, let's look at what it means to be a living sacrifice and what it means to care about what God cares about. In the next few verses here, Romans 12, 9 through 16, let's just read that. We'll get through this whole part here. It says love. Love, you got to love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Any of that stuff seem difficult? It ain't easy. It's not easy to love. It's not easy to be a living sacrifice. But it's proper. It's right. It's the right response. Do you notice this has a lot to do with one another? One another. If you look around the room, there's others. And I want to tell you right now, you're not just here for you. You're here for one another. I bet you someone out there right now needs some prayer. But they're hoping that someone else comes and prays for them. That's why we're here, for one another, okay? If you need prayer today, you can come talk. Whoa, hey, come talk to me. Forgot about that. Come talk to me afterward. We'll get people praying with you. There's no problem. Because we're here for one another. There's a connection here between our understanding of God's mercy and how we interact with each other. Right? The better you understand the mercy you're living in, the better you should be treating other people. So if you're not treating other people very nicely, okay, I would question how deep an understanding you have of God's mercy in your own life. You need that revelation. Someone asked Jesus the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, hey, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart. Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. That's Jesus talking. I love when Jesus talks, man. Because I'm like, I got to listen to this. Everything Everything we claim to be as a Christian is directly related to how we love God and how we love people. You claim to be a Christ follower? I got a test for you. How do you love God and how do you love people? We answer those questions and you kind of know where you're at, right? In the Bible, the love that we're talking about, it's called agape love. Paul says, love should be sincere. This is agape love. Let me explain that. There's other forms of love that are talked about. There's romantic love. There's brotherly love, you know, friendship. There's the love that a parent and a child have between each other. But the love that is so prevalent in the ministry of Jesus Christ is the love that's called agape love. It's a love of service. Okay, today the closest thing we have to understand is we would call it unconditional love. Unconditional love. But here's one extremely hard part about it. Okay, unconditional love. Unconditional love is confusing, is a little confusing way to describe it, because agape love does not equal acceptance of everything. So if that's what we mean by unconditional love, then we have the wrong definition of unconditional love. But it's the closest thing we have to agape love. It doesn't quite line up. This is the example. This love that we're talking about in the Bible is best displayed on the cross. This is the best example of it right here, Romans 5:8. Contemplate what love is by looking at this verse. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us, His agape love, in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is sincere love. And it has nothing to do with what someone else is doing. It has to do with sacrifice. When the Bible says God is love, you hear that today? God is love. Sometimes we mean God just accepts everything. No, when the Bible says God is love, agape love, in John chapter 4, it's because God gave Himself up. It's because He gave Himself up for us, not because He accepts everything we do. He literally loved you to death. That's sincere love. I want you to notice in this scripture, immediately after Paul says love must be sincere, what does he say next? He says, hate. Hate what is evil. So love and hate kind of go hand in hand, to tell you the truth. We don't like that word hate these days. But there are things to hate. Hate what is evil. Psalm 97 says this, okay? Let those who love the Lord hate evil. He said they go hand in hand. For He guards the lives of His faithful ones, and He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. The things that we are called to hate are the evil things, the evil that wrecks a person's life. There's something wrecking your life. I hate it. Okay? Whatever's wrecking your life, I hate that thing. But you got to hate it too. You can love yourself by hating it. Yeah? There's things to hate. Let's get honest. Let's get honest here. Some of the things we love, by our definition of love, are not the things God loves. Some of the things we think are love are not the kind of love that Jesus took to the cross. And therefore, when He says to love, it's not the same love as some of us are living out. What do we do with those things? We have to lay them down at the altar of His mercy. Amen? Amen. Let's bring this to a conclusion. Sincere love, it's very contrasting to what we call love today. Love today says, hey, be yourself. Well, that's fine, but love from God's Word says, give yourself. See that? Love today says, be happy with who you are. Okay, I'm okay with that, but love from God's Word doesn't say that. It says, get the focus off yourself and onto others. Right? Sincere love. is like that. The only part of you that agape love has to do with is that you lay you down. You lay you down for someone else. It's a sacrificial type of love. It's the love of service. It's being a service. Ladies and gentlemen, for all of you that want to get married, don't. Okay. Don't get married. Unless, okay? I'm married. I'm very happy. Unless, okay? Unless someone shows you that kind of love. That's the answer. Don't fall for the romantic love. Okay? Fall for the sacrificial love. I can guarantee you this. Romance will follow the sacrifice. Amen? Married folks? But I can also guarantee you this. Well, actually, I can't guarantee you that sacrifice will follow the romance. I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee you romance will follow the sacrifice. So look for the sacrificial kind of love before you make those big decisions. Let's end with this scripture right here. I think it just ties it all together. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says this, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up. That's the key. He gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray together. God, we're so amazed and we're so in awe of your mercy. My prayer for us today, God, is that we would learn to respond to mercy, to your mercy the right way. And maybe we haven't always responded to your mercy the right way. Maybe we've run from your mercy, or maybe we've tried to earn your mercy. But God, mercy is who you are. And when we realize that, God, it is reasonable for us. It's the most reasonable thing we could do to serve you and to lay down a life that's been given mercy, that's been granted mercy, to lay that life down before you. God, I pray that we would keep your mercy at the forefront of our minds at all times, as Paul tells us to do. Keep it in view. And that we would learn to be a living sacrifice. Learning to love others, learning to serve others. God, help us to lay down our lives. God, you're so pleased with that. That is what pleases you. Service, thankfulness, understanding your compassion, receiving mercy. When we do that, God, it's like a fragrant offering lifted to you, just as the old sacrifices were, that burning, that giving of our important things, the valuable things in our lives. We lay that down, all that burning, you say, was a pleasing aroma to you. And so when we do that in our lives, God, that pleases you. And let us be living sacrifices in your mighty name, in your merciful name, we pray.